The epistle for today's Mass, the second Sunday after Easter, is taken from the first epistle of St. Peter, chapter 2, verses 21 through 25. Beloved, Christ has suffered for us, leaving you an example that you may follow in his footsteps, who did no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile, when he suffered, did not threaten, but yielded himself to him who judged him unjustly, who himself bore our sins in his body upon the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live to justice. And by his stripes you were healed. For you were as sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. And please stand for today's gospel, taken from St. John chapter 10, verses 11 through 16. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus said to the Pharisees, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. But the hireling who is not a shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming and leads the sheep, and he flees. And the wolf snatches and scatters the sheep. But the hireling flees because he is a hireling, and has no concern for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know mine, and mine know me, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for my sheep. Another sheep I have that are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, especially the mothers who are here, right? I think we all know that children, little babies, already begin to recognize the sound of the voice of the mother even before they're born. I think we all know that. Right? After all, they don't have the use of reason yet, but the little babies have already been formed. They have emotion. They have sensation. So they can sense things. They hear the voice of the mother. Sometimes the father. Right? But they hear the voice of the mother, perhaps the prayers of mom. Right? So after that little baby's born, right away that child, you know, in the nurse's arms and the mother speaks, the head turns, right, toward the mother, right? But he already recognizes the voice of the mother, right? Well, that's how we should be when our Lord is speaking to us. We should recognize his voice. And in fact, that's what our Lord says. Those who are true sheep recognize the voice of God, the voice of Christ, the shepherd. We hear his voice speaking. Nobody has to tell us that Christ is speaking to us. We know. And it's too bad that there are people in this world who may hear his voice but don't want to hear it, and they close their ears to the voice of God, and they no longer want to be among his sheep. Our Lord is the good shepherd. He says that those who are his sheep will hear his voice. They recognize his voice. Just as the child, the baby, recognizes the voice of the mother. And by the way, there too, remember too, that because the little babies were all babies at one time, right? And when moms are expecting, it's important for dads to be close to them and help them to, the husband to help them go through the difficult time, right, of carrying that baby to full term. Help the mother not to be too emotional or to have too much suffering and difficulties, right? Because we know what happens, right? That baby does sense emotion, has sensation, so the baby feels what mom is going through. And if mom is has a lot of emotional difficulties, a lot of stress, this emotional wreck, well, you can imagine, you know, that the baby too, when the baby is going to be born, after those months of sensing all that difficulty, that baby is going to be kind of an emotional wreck too, right? Why is the baby crying? Why is he shivering and shaking? Well, maybe, so it's important, even before the baby is born, you know, for dads and moms to be that good example, especially dads, take care of your husbands, take care of your wives during that time as they're carrying that little child, so that the baby may be born into the world in the best way possible, right? And to help the wife and the mom during those hard times. So we need to hear the voice of our shepherd. Christ is the good shepherd. The question is, do we hear the voice of Christ? Only we can answer that question, really, each one of us. Whether we be a man or a woman or a boy or a girl. Right? Do we answer or do we hear and listen to and obey the voice of Christ in our heart? We need to have a shepherd. We are sheep. We have to follow our shepherd. So, you know, we look around in the church today, we see the crisis everywhere, and the few people are standing up for the tradition, they're trying to keep the faith and say their prayers. And perhaps we look around and we see, what's the matter with everybody? Everybody just followers? Everyone just a follower, huh? Well, it's true. You know, most people are followers. I mean, God made the people in a certain way. Not everybody is a leader. Imagine if everybody in this parish were a leader and came into the church wanting to lead and direct everything. We wouldn't get along, would we? No. So, some are leaders. Most people are followers. They're sheep. So it's very important to have good leaders. Right? Beginning right in the home with dad as the head of the home, like Christ, and then the mom too, being the leader over the children, the shepherds over their children. I mean, imagine, you go to a professional basketball game, right? And you're out there in the stands, you're watching these guys are bouncing the ball, throwing the ball in every which direction, missing all the shots, and next thing you know, it's 100 to 20. What in the world's wrong with that team? And then someone says, oh, they don't have a coach. A coach? How do they plan to play without a coach? Right? And then you're in the military, on the battlefield. Right? The whole company of squadron goes out there and the guys have all their guns and they're shooting random, hitting everybody and everything. And well, what's wrong with those soldiers? Oh, they don't have a sergeant. They don't have anyone in charge of them. There's no one in charge. There's no leader. Well, so you see it in everyday life, in every aspect of our life, we need leaders. We need someone in charge. We need a shepherd. In different ways, of course. So we need to pray for some good shepherds. We need to follow the voice of Christ, our good shepherd. And it won't do any good for us to look around and see the crisis in the church and say, oh, that bishop and that priest and this and that and the other, how they're not faithful. If we, in our own personal life, if we are not listening to the voice of our shepherd in our personal spiritual lives, if we are not obeying Christ in our families, in our marriages, in our job at the workplace, we are just as bad, really, because we are being faithful to our Lord with regard to our duties and our state of life. So the first thing, obviously, is for us to be faithful to the voice of Christ in our own life. And then to pray for good shepherds. You know, and the Scripture does say that oftentimes and perhaps normally God will allow bad shepherds as a punishment for bad people. Right? So we need to do penance. Right? The faithful need to do penance for the rest of the faithful. For all the members of the body of Christ to merit the grace of God, to attain the grace of God, the mercy of God, to give us good leaders in the church and in the state and the government. Right? The purpose of any shepherd, the ultimate goal of any shepherd with regard to man, is to help lead souls to heaven, whether we are spiritual shepherds or even in the government. There should be at least some idea of providing what is natural, even in the government, to provide what is naturally sound according to what is good and true, so that it will help people do the right thing and eventually get to heaven. At least be naturally, morally good. So we do need good shepherds, don't we? We need to pray for them. But let's confine ourselves this morning with the idea of the parents being shepherds over their children. My parents, you know, it's a wonderful thing God gives you, boys and girls, right? Gives you children, if you're able to have children, right? It's a wonderful thing. But remember, those children belong to God. Don't belong to you. You are simply the shepherds, the guardians. Right? God gives you those boys and girls so that you may give them back to Him. Right? It's a beautiful thing. And you share that love and the joy, sometimes the sorrows, with the kids, between mom and dad and all the brothers and sisters. Hopefully a close-knit family. But at the end of the day, parents realize, you know, one day we're going to have to stand before God. You know, mom and dad look at each other. We're going to have to stand before God and answer for all of our children. So we need to think about that day from time to time. To put ourselves, to keep the right perspective in our minds. Right? What is our goal in life? What are our duties in our state of life? Huh? Mom and dad, what are they? So think one day when mom and dad will be before God. And God's going to show those parents, okay? You had so and so many children. You had all these children. Well, they're all in heaven. You did a very good job. You were persevering in your prayer, your family prayer life. You helped avoid the occasion of sin in your home. You gave them a good foundation in their faith and hope and charity. And you did penance for them too sometimes. So they've all been saved. And they made good efforts too in their own life. Oh, what a wonderful day that will be. Hopefully all of our parents in this parish will hear those words. What happens though in the case of those parents where they go before God and our Lord says, oh, you had many children, but only one was saved. The others are condemned. Our Lord's going to say, and I see in their lifetime that one of the main causes was your negligence. You didn't teach them their faith. You didn't give them the example of virtue, of mercy, of providence, of forgiveness, of kindness. You allowed occasions of sin to come into your home. Bad movies, right? Evil things on the internet, you know. Bad music and magazines are all these bad companions. What are the parents going to do then? Wow. And however, you know, parents must realize that, you know, it's a wonderful role that you have. You're the pastors, in a sense, a real sense, shepherds of the souls of your children. You want to lead them to heaven. Now, how did our Lord lead us to heaven? He died for us. And who put him to death? We did. His own sheep nailed him to the cross. But he died for us anyway. And when we turn against him, does he say, you're not one of mine anymore? No, he doesn't. He's waiting for us like the father of the prodigal son, waiting with open arms for us to come home and to say, Father, I'm sorry. Whether we are boys or girls, right? Our Lord is there, so we can be a prodigal daughter or a prodigal son. Doesn't make any difference. Our Lord is waiting for us just to say that we're sorry and to ask him to take us back home. So that's how our Lord treats us. So how should parents treat their children? Sometimes it happens. You know, the children, as you raise them, they do fine. And then they get to a certain age and there are a lot of difficulties in their life. Maybe the boy makes a big mistake. The girl makes a big mistake. And what's the reaction of the parents? Is it like Christ? Or maybe the natural reaction might be, you're not my son anymore. My son would never do something like that. You're not my daughter anymore. Don't ever come home. Is that what the parents are going to say? Abandon their children? Would God do that to us if we made a big mistake with our life? No. So parents, be a true shepherd. Be the good shepherd like our Lord is for each one of you in your lifetime. Be a good shepherd. Right? Our Lord suffered and died for his sheep. Sometimes parents too. You know, sometimes some of their sheep, maybe they were little lambs at first, but they become big, tough sheep as they get older. Teenage years, you know how kids get. So parents may need to be like Christ and sometimes be nailed to a cross. Accept humiliation when their children make mistakes. Maybe prayer, sacrifice, extra little penances and prayers to make reparation for the sins of their children. As our Lord did for us. That's what it means to be a true shepherd. Let the parents pray for this grace of generosity to be like their true shepherd who is Christ. And if each one of us who is in a position of authority over certain sheep or lambs, whether we be priests, bishops, popes, mom and dad, someone at the workplace, in the government, or sergeants in the military, in a sense we are shepherds over those under our care. We need to be like Christ. Always. You'd be surprised how it brings everybody so much closer together, right? as one human family in Christ in sanctifying grace. That's what our Lord wants us to do, is to bring the whole human race into a human family, but called the mystical body of Christ. All in the one body of Christ, all men, women, children. Right? So let us, in conclusion, let us look to our Lord as our true shepherd, the good shepherd. Let us obey his voice, because we can hear it. Let us remember that we are like those little babies who hear the voice, recognize the voice of mom, the mother, and the dad too. Right? We recognize mom and dad, you know. Right? Let us be like that toward our Lord and recognize his voice and obey his voice. Pray for the grace to do his will. Right? Pray for that grace. Right? We know that we've said it many times before. We know that we are sinners, but our Lord is there to forgive us and wash away our sins. We just have to persevere till death. Let us ask him for that grace, to ask him to purify us and chastise us in the way that he knows how, the way that is necessary, but that he doesn't forget us. Lord, remember me. So let us always finish our prayer as the good thief did. Remember the good thief. he realized, he said to the other thief, he said, we deserve to suffer on the cross. We deserve to die because we are sinners. So that's the first thing we do. We repent of our sins. I deserve to suffer, Lord. But what did he finish by saying? He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. So we say that prayer too. Lord, you have to purify me. I know you have to chastise me. I need to make reparation for my sins. Maybe for the sins of my children, if I'm negligent, if it was my fault. But Lord, remember me. Right? When I come before you, remember me. That's all we have to say, and he will remember you. Because that's what the sheep need to do. That's the humility and trust in God's mercy. So let us all pray for those graces. Turn to our Lord, the true shepherd, the good shepherd. And of course, let us not forget to turn to our Lady, as always, like the mother of our Savior, that she will always obtain for us the grace to persevere. And moms and dads, persevere as shepherds over your children, so that one day our Lord will give you that special blessing and the reward when you enter into heaven. And you will enter in and he will show you, right? Here are all your children. Because you follow the true shepherd, you follow myself, he will say, welcome into the kingdom of God prepared for you and for your family and for all those who love God. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.